This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All right, guys, welcome back. We're live again for episode number 74 of the Before the Train Wreck series, the only show that talks about red flags that lead to train wrecks so you guys don't make a train wreck out of your life. This one is on a pastor slash wife that turned to stripping and OnlyFans eventually, and which ultimately led to the end of the divorce. Rolo covered this in depth for 2.5 hours. I've already linked his interview below. I'm joined today by Jonathan Noble, who is a family lawyer. You can visit him at JCN Law. He's got a YouTube channel. He's on Twitter, so he's pretty easy to find if you look him up. Welcome back, John.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I figured John would be good to contribute on the topic because, well, obviously he's a family lawyer, so he can speak from the legal perspective of how this train wreck might potentially unfold in the court system. What state are you in again? It's Pennsylvania, was it?
Pennsylvania, licensed in Pennsylvania, New Jersey.
Yeah.
But practice in Pennsylvania primarily.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do is hopefully get through this in the next hour or so, but we've got a really interesting story here for you guys. I mean, if you didn't watch the interview that Rolo did, there's a lot to unpack here. I've spent the last few hours, I know Jonathan's gone through a lot of stuff and made some notes and made some timestamps even on the interview that Rolo did on some of the sound bites. So what we want to try to do here is, I mean, the husband's name is John, so you can watch that interview and get his perspective. Seems like a really nice guy, but obviously the marriage did not hold, you know, for whatever reason. I saw a few things that I made notes on, and I wanted to kind of unpack her timeline on Instagram because she's very, very active there. She's got like almost 2,200 posts. And you can almost see the train wreck unfold in slow motion as you start to kind of scroll through it. There's a point in time here. Let me just add to stream because this will be relevant. So this is her. This is the top of the timeline. This is what she's been up to these days. Obviously, she's on OnlyFans. She's going through the divorce machine. I'm not sure how far they've gone through it, but they're separated from what I understand. But this here is the moment in time where he stops appearing on the timeline, which is June 15th, 2019. Now, Jonathan, you watched the entire interview as well. You made some notes as far as timeline and sound bites that you picked up on when you were watching the interview with Rolo. Do you want to talk about those a little bit before we kind of dive through this and reverse engineer it?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I don't know Rolo at all, but I watched the interview. I thought he did a phenomenal job in a number of different, very subtle ways. That interview goes to show that you can almost cross-examine someone in a very subtle way without being Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men, cross-examining Jack Nicholson. He was able to like follow up and put him at ease, but get a lot of great information. So tip of the hat to Rolo on that. But as he was delving into how this whole thing unfolded, and since this is before the train wreck, there are some huge red flags. And instead of having you watch a 2-hour and 15-minute video, I timestamped some of the more important pieces that I thought Rolo was able to dive into. For example, at 11 minutes and 32 seconds, husband, in this case, said that it was a quick engagement. 2 to 3 months before they got engaged. 2 to 3 months.
And she was about 25, 26 too, right?
24 and he was 27 at 24. That. Okay. Right. So quick engagement. And then 7 to 8 months later, they got married. So inside of a year, they're married. Now that's probably not a
good, little bit rapid.
Yeah. Very rapid.
I mean, it doesn't give you much time to spot, like really dive deep into what somebody's personality really is, how they'll deal with stress when it's applied to the relationship, what they're really all about. I mean, clinical psychologists will often tell you that people will behave, or they'll behave very well for the first couple of years. Like they can hide it. Right. And after the first couple of years, and it becomes a lot more difficult for them to hide what their real personality is like, because we're always on our best behavior. I mean, you know, people often say, or I've heard often said in law, that you often find yourself dating the representative. And then when you get married and say, I do, the representative leaves, and then you're left with the real person, especially if you rush into it. So you need a couple of years to really, you know, I've used the term vetting before, but you can call it whatever you want, but you need a couple of years to watch the person and see what happens when stress gets applied to the relationship. Travel, you know, the luggage gets lost, see if she freaks out, if she can handle it or not, stuff like that, right?
Exactly. You know, we did a Before the Train Wreck on narcissistic personality disorders. Yeah. And narcissists, I don't think that this woman's a narcissist, but I don't really know enough facts. And I'm not a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist to diagnose her. But if she were a covert narcissist, it could take much longer than a year. Then he's in the marriage and kids right away. They had kids like within that first year after they got married. Yikes. You know,
so that's a big red flag is rushing into the marriage, obviously, right? A couple months after he meets her, gets married within the year, they've got kids by the time they're 26. But that's a lot of what the church tells people too, right? I think that if you're deeply involved right down the rabbit hole into that factory, you've been fed a steady diet of have a big family, do it now, have it quickly, let's go.
Right. Husband said that he didn't see any of this coming. You know, she dressed modestly and she took a back seat to him being the head of the household. So maybe his radar was up. Maybe it wasn't. Obviously, he wasn't familiar with the rational male or any of the other information that's readily available out there for vetting.
But at the same token, I mean, when you meet a woman and she's a skydiver and rides motorcycles and you're meeting them in Korea teaching English, like one of the things, like, I dated a woman at one point that ran away from Canada to go live in Japan to teach English. And one of the things I noticed about it, and it happened a few times when I was talking to a few other of her friends that were also tied into the group, was that they seemed to be running away from something, right? Like, why are you leaving your country of origin at a very young age to go out to the Orient to teach English in a place where you're not completely familiar with? They always had something pushing them out there. It seemed like they were leaving something behind. They had to depart from it. They had to run away from it, sort of thing. Anyway, carry on.
There was a subtle fact that came out when Rollo interviewed this gentleman. He said that she was 2 hours late for their first date. And I
remember that.
I replayed that a couple of times and I thought to myself, no, what are you kidding me? This is just not going to end well.
I used to leave if she was late. Like if she showed up like I'd give it 5 or 10 minutes. Like if she had a legitimate reason, there's an accident, there's a car fire, I'm running late. Okay, fine. But for the most part, if it's like, I don't know how to value my time and the time of other people, it's like, we're done here, sweetheart.
It's totally disrespectful.
It is.
Especially
totally.
On a first date.
Yeah.
Now, if she's stuck in traffic and she's calling him saying, look, I'm around the corner, but 2 hours late and he waited, she controlled all the frame.
Correct.
And they weren't even out on their first date yet.
Correct.
Okay. Not he's a good guy, but he's learning the hard way on this. And this is just our opinion, but that 2 hours late was not.
This is the whole nice guy syndrome. Did you ever read Robert Glover's stuff?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Nice right. Guy? Yeah.
Exactly. So you talk about frame, you talk about disrespect 2 hours late. I could see this train. I could see that little beam of light on that going from the other end of the tunnel coming already early on. So quick engagement, 2 to 3 months, they're engaged. Okay, he's not even sure what's going on. At 33:25, he says maybe it's a midlife crisis for her. But he also mentions, and I agree with this, cosmetically, they can make her look much younger. And I saw the photos that she posted on Instagram. She's 36 years old, and she's getting 1,880 people to pay $25 a month to see her naked. Mm-hmm. So that's $47,000 a month. Whether it's through filters, whether maybe she does have a lot of makeup, and I'm not putting her down at all. She's been able to parlay her physical appearance with the augmentation of either cosmetic surgery or cosmetics to look good enough to have this audience. But maybe he knows something we don't know. He probably does. He's seen her coming out of the shower, or he has seen her.
Well, there's lots of pictures on her Instagram, which we'll unpack in a moment, that are blurred out at the right areas, where you can see her coming out of the shower and breastfeeding one kid while doing the other one's hair, and the other one takes a picture for her.
Right.
For her, for the gram. So, you know, we'll watch that train wreck in a minute.
Yeah. I mean, so, but to her credit, look at the Playboy models, you know, throughout the decades. They are airbrushed and they're made up perfectly, the hair, the skin.
There's always touch up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And with today's technology, it's probably not that hard to do. At 36:50, as a timestamp in Rolo's interview, you know, he talks about her life coach journey. Started 2 or 3 years ago. So she's finding herself, and now she's putting herself in a position. And I don't even know what the credentials are, to be honest, about being there a life coach.
You have to have blue blocking sunglasses, and that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she was a bartender before.
Yes.
And she was a seamstress for kids' clothes. And she was a teacher. She was a stay-at-home mom, then hit life coach. So I think what she's doing is parlaying her fame, if you want to call it fame, into trying to tell other people, hey, I discovered myself. And I'm not putting her down, but this is how things are starting to crystallize of what's going on here. One thing that the husband mentioned is that she has off the charts interpersonal skills, and that could be true. She could be great interpersonally with people, and she appears that way. Now she just has parlayed that into monetizing it for a monthly subscription fee to show her body. I don't know everything that goes on in her channel, in her fans only channel, but she's probably completely naked. But I don't know what level of sexuality there is, or how, if there's any censoring or what she does. But if she's just walking around in sexy lingerie or nude, there is a demand for that.
And we've come to the realization today that simps and their money are easily parted with OnlyFans. And it doesn't even have to be a hot 20-year-old, a mommy of three in her 30s with some decent airbrushing and a professional photographer. You can land the job too. I mean, she's bragging this month on Facebook about making $47,000 in the last month. So I want to unpack the financial consequences of her enrichment and his kind of like stability down over here, and what that looks like with family law and sure. obligations for, you know, payments and alimony and child support and all that in a bit too.
Okay. I just want to make a couple of other observations. At 34:50, date stamp or time stamp on Rolo's interview, and plus about 3 minutes, he talks about she's not really a pastor, that she was just a guest speaker in front of 500 or 50 to 100 people. And she has a great gift of oration. She's a good speaker. And even the story that the New York Post did on her said she only did it once. She wasn't really a pastor. Now, I don't know what definition of pastor is being used here, but to me, and just my opinion, a pastor has a congregation, and they're not just an invited speaker once to talk to 50 people. But it could enhance the interest that people might have on watching her. It's like, again, the old Playboy, like women of the New York Fire Department, they would have a spread, for example, or mm-hmm. something like that. And that creates notoriety. So
I think because of her position in the church, she wasn't officially allowed to be called a pastor. Because she was a woman, or there's something missing on the title. But she did deliver, I don't know what you call them, sermons, speeches. She actually sure. called them motivational talks in a podcast interview that I listened to. I don't know if you heard that one as well off the link on her website.
No, check it out. But that's okay. She could design whatever title or spin whatever title she wants for herself. More power to her. But if we're down this rabbit hole, just in the course of our conversation, it seems like they both agreed that it was like a one-off. You know, she did it once. And if that's what a pastor is, then she was a pastor. I'm not taking that away from her. It just seems to me like she's a good speaker. And the congregation asked her to give a motivational talk, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she helps somebody, which would be fabulous. At that point, and there are a couple of things where there are a disconnect. Now at 53:11 timestamp, a husband says he asked for the divorce, not her. And I love the way Rollo kind of opened up that door throughout this 2 hours. Again, he's opening the door. He's sitting back and listening. Rollo normally is a terrific interviewee where people bring him on and he talks about his body of work and what his thoughts are. Here, the tables were turned, and he very subtly knew what to ask most of the time. There were a couple times where I wish I could have gone through the screen and said, Rollo, ask him this. But he did a great job, and he got a lot of information from the source. I mean, the husband's the best source available other than her herself, you know?
And, yeah, I wish I could have got him on today. I was chatting with him, and he initially wanted to talk a little bit more, but I get why he's sitting back right now. It makes sense because of the position that he's in.
Right. There's one thing that I want to raise here that I found very, very interesting. At the 55-minute mark, he told Rollo that he was laid back about her photos in the beginning, and over time, it caused him an intense stress. He suffered from insomnia. Now, I don't have a big YouTube channel, but I can't imagine her getting a big fans only page and having almost 2,000 subscribers at $25 a month. And then all of a sudden being okay with it. And then asking her to stop. I mean, that's almost unfair to her. If he went along with it and didn't try to stop it early, you have to do some level of work in order to keep putting out content, take these pictures. She had to have a photographer. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but he didn't step up.
I think you'll see the lead up when we go to the Instagram timeline, because there's a lot of posts there which kind of unpack it. So we'll see the train wreck kind of unfolding. But it looks to me like the OnlyFan thoughtery began after the separation.
Okay. So my understanding was there were financial difficulties before the OnlyFans. And then once you start to make that kind of money, it's a lifestyle change. I mean, I think
it's a lot of money. It's a significant improvement from being a seamstress or teaching English in Korea.
And on her Instagram feed, I think it was December of 2019, she's test driving Teslas and BMWs. And once you taste that and you're making that kind of money, she's not going to give it up so easily.
Well, yeah, there's a few posts that I'm going to highlight in the language that she uses in it in a moment. Yeah, but carry on with the timestamps.
All right. So at 102 and 40 seconds, he said, you know, this is really killing him. And I'm not sure what changed from the beginning when she was doing it until now. And, you know, once you let that horse out of the barn and she's making like $500,000 roughly, I don't know if that's before or after the fans only takes their cut or whatever, but that's a lifestyle change. So it started to bother him. And he was honest about that, which is great. You know, there's some questions about, was this really discoverable before they got married and had kids? And I think that is a very valuable question, because if it is or was discoverable, what can anybody do going forward to ensure that they're not going to be victimized like this?
I think it's the personality. I think it's the rush into the wedding. Like, let's 2 to 3 months into dating, let's get engaged within, you know, the same year, let's get married within a couple of years after that, kids start popping out. A couple of the sound bites that I made notes on here when I was listening to the podcast, which is an hour I'll never get back in my life. So if you really want to listen to it, I'll show you the links in a bit. But she never found that, like, she was talking about her, in her upbringing, being like force-fed notions that men do all the leading and that women need to be led. But from what I understood from the podcast interview, listening to it and watching Rollo's interview, I didn't get the impression that she was ever led. I don't get the impression that he was actually that guy for her. She talked a lot about gender equality, feminism, realizing she's a queer, which is interesting because he talked about her being bi, but in the podcast interview, she called herself queer, which, if my understanding is correct, that means that she's a lesbian. Ever since she was a little girl, she wanted to be a stripper. You'd think that at some point when I'm engaged with a woman over a longer period of time, the conversation, like, I like to bring up questions like, what was it like growing up in your house? You know, tell me about your dad. Tell me about your mom. Like, you ask questions like this. What did you want to be when you're growing up? Right. I'm not sure that she would have volunteered that I wanted to be a stripper, but she certainly was very free and open about volunteering that information to the podcast interview. Her favorite film when she was growing up was Coyote Ugly. I'm not sure if you've seen that, but it's a rather promiscuous film about middle-aged women dancing on bars with other middle-aged women seeking the attention and validation of men, which is kind of where she's at in her life right now, which is interesting. Right. She mentioned being oppressed by privileged men. I'm not sure where that was coming from. And then she called her stripping care-based, holy, and beautiful.
Hmm.
She also made a disparaging comment when a man cheats. I'm not sure what it was that she was trying to say because the interviewer cut her off, but she mentioned something disparaging about men in general when he cheats, as if to say that it's his fault, was the understanding that I took from it. Anyway, I think that she's right now making up for missing out. I mean, if she met this guy when she was 24, she was running away from something potentially to go teach English in Korea. Who knows what that is? She didn't get her party years out of the way. She probably didn't have any opportunity for any self-discovery to figure out what her sexual preferences were, men or women or both or just women. But either way, you know, he showed up and they had a whirlwind wedding. Let me grab the Instagram here, throw it back up on the feed because I think this will be interesting to unpack. Guys, if you're enjoying this, hit the like button. And there's a couple of super chats coming through, which I'll get to in just a bit. So just bear with me for a little bit as I kind of unpack this. So this is the last post where he appears in her timeline, June 15th, 2019, where she's announcing moving to California. She's talking about a kick-ass job and a house and all these goals. And she's starting to churn out these posts with her pictures that are in alignment with the Instagram influencer, the life coaching model that she starts to lean into. She's probably, there you go, the hashtags. Beach babe, dream big, follow your heart, vibes, life coach, life coaching, rise and shine, bitches. That's not something a wife would be saying in my household. LGBTQ hashtag say yes mindset. So she's a boss babe is another big red flag, guys. I've talked about boss babes before because these are women that try to compete with you, and a woman that tries to compete with you will never respect you. So let me pull this up and let's kind of go back through this timeline a bit and see how this unfolds. So this is all prior to, she's got tattoos on her wrist here already. This is all prior to the separation and I guess moving to California. Here's a picture of her getting a tattoo, which is never a good sign. I don't know why she looks like she's got a big wrist tattoo and one down the inner arm. Worthless bundles, hashtags. A lot of pictures of her and look at me and my dress and here I am looking pretty. Are you ready for more? One of her girlfriends looks like an Amsterdam. A lot of her still. She's all still fully clothed, though. She's just doing makeup. Okay, so this is one about money. I love money. I like it a lot. I used to resent it. John and I worked harder and longer hours, yet every year we managed to make less money. How could I not be resentful? Money's important, right? Hypergamy dictates that women are always going to look for the best deal that she can get. I don't know what was happening directly in the marriage, but clearly there wasn't enough there to go around if she was struggling with money and was looking to level up in a sense. I don't know if this is a Porsche Cayenne SUV. I'm assuming this is probably a mid-range model. It doesn't look like a turbo, so maybe about $70,000-$75,000 it might cost.
I think those red brake calipers indicate that it is a higher level model, just out of personal knowledge. But it's a beautiful car, whatever it costs, and they're not cheap to own or maintain. And it, you know, those don't look like stock wheels either. So no. She's really enjoying it.
No, she likes the Porsche Cayenne. And here we go, taking selfies in the mirror. So this is a mother of three. This is what she's getting up to. Is she's still married to John. Now, she's still wearing clothes here, fellas. Now, she's tatting up her body. Again, we're going back in the timeline. I'm assuming there's going to be more pictures of the kids, my three babies. It still blows my mind. Now, their souls were entrusted to me and how grateful I am. I don't know that they're going to be grateful when they end up in school and their schoolmates find out that mommy gets naked for $47,000 a month on OnlyFans. Let's see what else we can unpack here. Now we have another car here. This one's a little bit less flashy than the Porsche. This looks like a Toyota Corolla. This is kind of your basic beige family sedan, except for it's red. This is back in May of 2017. This is prior to California still. A lot of pictures of her still. She's got the feminist t-shirt on here with the wrist tattoo showing.
Very subtle, but true. Wow.
Very, very subtle change in, you know, here's her. I did it, you guys. Master's of Arts in Leadership. This is what Aaron Cleary would call a useless degree, by the way.
I think it's noteworthy that she has an undergraduate degree in broadcast journalism. So one way or another, she was getting in front of a camera, whether she was going to be a newscaster or doing what she's doing now. And she's a very, very good speaker. So She's parlayed that talent into monetizing it to make a very healthy income.
So she got to speak at her final senior chapel yesterday, because guess who's graduating from seminary this weekend? This bitch is.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's a red flag there. That's not how a wife should be speaking. A mother of three.
Yeah.
Feminist. Another feminist t-shirt. Another red flag right there. It's no surprise that in the podcast interview, she was using words like oppression and privileged males. To be a feminist, you have to have a victim mindset. There has to be an oppressor. And that's just what they go seeking. I always tell guys to avoid that. If you see any sounds of that, like if you hear any sound bites around that, that's something that you certainly want to stay away from, because it does end up becoming problematic for some guys. And in this case, it did. Still fully clothed, but still taking a lot of selfies in the mirrors. A lot of the feminists and the wrist tattoo photographs still showing. There's a skydiving. Still fully clothed, though. And she's, of course, wearing more clothes. We're on the Black Lives Matter trail. This is in 2019, before the big rigmarole, you know, from this year. This is a skydive event. Yeah. Family photo here. You try to capture the perfect family photo. You decide to post them all.
Good-looking family.
It's a good-looking family, but I didn't see her post a lot of them in her Instagram timeline. It seemed a lot of her, and her. Yep. She's in front of a Ferrari.
Yeah.
As a leader, you are here to create and contribute, not merely to consume. So stop scrolling and start contributing, ladies. Get out there. Leave your husband and live your best life. The world needs your voice, your take, your spin, your personality. No, it doesn't really. A lot of virtue signaling still with the t-shirts and in the posts. Let's jump out of a plane again. Looks like this is back in California. This weekend while in California, I toured a $3 million house. It was so beautiful, inspiring, but I couldn't afford it, of course. The deep pool front yard. Well, she's ambitious. I mean, you know, let's give her that. Oh, here we go. The bathing suit photograph start. First one is on there. Other one. I wonder if this is the point where he's basically saying, no, I don't think so, Nicole.
I don't know, but he almost kicks himself for waiting so long to say
no. There's a lot of airbrushing touch up in the photographs over here. There's some work that she's getting done there with the photographs. I mean, she's not particularly like figure-ish. Like she's very squarish. It's not the conventional like feminine hourglass desirable shape that you'd think that, you know, guys would pay for photographs on, but strangely, you know, they do. A simp and his money is easily separated by somebody like this with a story behind it about how she's living her best life being a boss babe, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and this is all just the family stuff on the tour, I guess. A lot of pictures of her posing, right? A lot of, like, this is a lot of red flags, right? Like, if you're married, you don't allow this sort of behavior to take place. I mean, she's not getting a lot of attention, right? 56 likes, 61 likes. But as we go to the more recent stuff towards the top here, where she's now become a complete Instagram OnlyFans icon. She's got clips here with Jimmy Kimmel. This is her more recent OnlyFans photographer. This is a clip from the New York article. Bisexual pastor turned stripper has never been happier. Odd, because again, in the podcast, she called herself queer, not bisexual. But lots of photographs here revealing. There was one where she was bragging as she was breastfeeding one child, doing the hair while the 9-year-old was taking the picture. You guys must see. Anyway, these a lot of modeling pictures here. A lot of modeling pictures. It's endless, right? Like this is obviously after they parted ways. He doesn't appear again after that one photograph. So yeah. Now she's living her best life. She's a life coach.
Exactly. The floodgates have opened. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, there's Tyrone again. She's obviously having fun now. Picture. High heels.
She has about 1,800 followers at $25 a month. That's how she got 47,000. What about the 21 and 22-year-old knockout beautiful women? How many followers do they have? They must make over $1 million a year.
Well, apparently she's in the top, I think, like 0.1% of creators for OnlyFans, from what I understood from a story. But yeah, like here's a post that I'm talking about. Like this is a mother of three. When a model is a mummy, so she's calling herself a model. This photo was taken by, so her 9-year-old is taking this photograph. This is motherhood unfiltered. Fresh out of the shower, brushing the 6-year-old's hair while the 4-year-old is insisting on nums before school. And my 9-year-old so sweetly standing by waiting for her to turn for a hug and kiss before leave. See, this is the narrative that they sell. I've often said that you know, what you're going to see on people's social posts is a highlight reel of their lives. It doesn't reflect the accuracy of it. This is not all rainbows and butterflies and sugars and spice and all things nice for every single day of her life. Like she's going to have struggled here and there for sure, more often than not. And turning to OnlyFans, let's see. $24.99 a month. More info. She has an Amazon wish list here of things that you can buy her, even though she's making $50,000 a month. You can buy her the Tantus strapless strap-on vibrator in purple, fellas, if you'd like to order one. Spare pants, deuce male, weighted blanket, bunny ear headphones, and some lingerie. So interesting that she's got links there for that. But she does a good living. On her Facebook page over here, again, this is all public, right? Like, you know, you just click it off her website. There is a brag here about the 47. So I want to hear from you. What are the implications of the, why doesn't that go away? Anyway, underneath here, it says, do I have to refresh it? Let's try this again. Cause it has the amount. I think it was $47,000 she's bragging about. So I want to hear from you, John. What are the implications? There it is, 47. So I just had a $47,000 a month. Holy shit, it happened. It really effing happened. There's a lot of swearing for a mother that's in church. So gross is 47,000. So net is 38,000. So you're right, John. What is it, 20%?
Right. According to the website, OnlyFans, that's what they take from the group. But there's other problems with chargebacks and people that use fake credit cards, view the content, and then cancel. And, you know, she gets charged back. I'm not exactly sure how the system works, but I investigated.
Well, let's assume with her life coaching, with her OnlyFans, maybe any sponsorship deals that she might be getting for Instagram, for Fit Tea or something like that, perhaps at some point. I mean, let's assume she's doing about 40 grand a month, and her husband or ex-husband, I think he's got kind of like an average job around 50 to 60,000 from what I understand. I think he's in technology. But in IT, I'm not sure at what level, but let's just assume that he's making $60,000 a year. What would be the implications in the divorce as far as her obligation to him? Like, would there be an obligation from her to him?
Yeah, one of the most important things that was not discussed, and you're probably not going to find out, is what's the date of separation? Because those dates of separation are litigated all the time in a high asset divorce. So I'm not sure why he filed. He says he filed. The article in the Post says she divorced him. But there's ways to work this out privately where you don't have to drag it through the courts. And you could just come up with a private agreement and append that as a marital settlement agreement to a divorce complaint. And the judge would divorce you and you have all the economics worked out. So the date of separation is critical. Because typically whatever happens in the marriage stays in the marriage. And this is California. I don't practice there. But I could tell you in my local jurisdiction, you'd want to know the date of separation. The other thing is she just started making this kind of money, if I understand the whole thing correctly. So
that seems like it started in late 2019.
Okay. So not even a year. And we don't know if she ramped up to 47,000 net 38 or if it was just her best month ever.
Seems like best month. Other prior months look like 24,000, 32,000. Like it keeps going up. So we can assume it's going to continue in that trajectory.
But until when? Like she can't continue to, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there'll be a thirst for a mom of three children who are in her, you know, until she's 50. I don't know. I'm shocked that there is a market for this, but that's just through my lens. More power to her. You know, if she, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this, and he said, like, if guys had the ability to charge $25 a month for a shower cam where middle-aged women could view them taking a shower every day, would you do it? And I don't know. It's a personal decision, but if guys, you could,
yeah, guys don't have the option for this sort of luxury. Like, women don't pay for this sort of stuff. Sterling Cooper, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he's an adult entertainer. He's an adult actor, film actor. So he's done 500 scenes apparently, and he has an OnlyFans, but a lot of his OnlyFans are dudes, like gay guys making requests for him. It's not specifically women. So there's no market for women paying guys for stuff like this. Like this is unique for women collecting money from men.
Got it. But so she's again, and she's allowed to, it's a free country. She's allowed to do this. And one other timestamp I wanted to mention because it really rings true. And I've heard many people, including you, say this, and I believe it, that if you don't like your results, you have to update your belief system. And in the interview that Rollo had with him at 1:21 and 56 seconds, the husband says her belief system shifted. They went to therapy at a 1:21:18, he said they worked through in therapy their new beliefs and their belief system. And then he goes on to say that her belief system shifted. So that's his explanation as to how this happened. She updated her belief system and this is what the result is. So,
well, I think we have a lot of evidence of what her belief system had updated to. It went from, you know, girlfriend, fiance, wife, mother to, feminist indoctrination, male privilege, you know, like all the sound bites that I pulled out of that podcast reflect the toxic feminist narrative, right?
Right. But to answer your question again, I don't know if they're able to amicably resolve this. He seems like an amicable guy. To force
seems like a really nice dude.
Yeah. So now he's going to become a bastard toward the mother of his children because she's able to monetize her nudity. that doesn't seem congruent with what I got from him when I watched him in the interview. And I'm hoping not. I mean, I have no dog in the fight, but it seems to me like they can work this out in a reasonable way. And I would think that, look, if he did file for divorce, I'd want to know why he was in such a rush to do so after permitting her and encouraging her in the early days as she's ramping up. That's not fair to her. Forget about the fact that there might be moral issues or religious issues, but he's like, yeah, you go, girl. And she's making bank. And then he says, I'm not into this anymore. So you got to kind of look at it both ways, but I don't know if the courts would say, wow, you got to pay her at a level of $47,000 or $38,000 a month net in support. The other thing is,
are you saying that he would have to pay her in support?
No.
It would be the other way around, right? Like right, she'd be paying him, obviously.
Right. If there's support to be paid.
Now, I wonder if, as an OnlyFans creator, because I've seen interviews where guys that have inconsistent income, like let's say they're an actor. I think there was one interesting interview that Dave Foley did with Joe Rogan a number of years ago. And there was a year where he was making good income, and then the courts ordered him to pay, I can't remember what it was, but it was something absurd, like $30,000 a month. But then he didn't have any jobs for a good 10 or 11 months after that, but he was still ordered to pay what he was earning when he was earning. So I wonder if her OnlyFans, career, if they pin the time date stamp at $47,000 and she had to pay him, if that changed for her, if she would still have to continue to pay that regardless of what her income is from OnlyFans.
Yeah, that is a great, great question. And in most jurisdictions, support is always modifiable with a significant change in circumstances. So the burden of proof would be on the actor if the actor was pinned down to a high amount to say, hey, I've been on all these auditions.
According to Dave Foley in that interview, he said he could not convince the courts to change that.
Yeah, well,
even though his income changed, he was unable to petition the courts to change the amount of his financial obligations. I think he was actually thrown in jail.
The other way where it could be stuck in cement is if you agree to an amount and a duration of support or alimony, then the court's hands are tied because it's viewed under contract principles. Well, you agreed. That's why if there's any doubt, you don't want to agree. You could always petition the court to modify it. Okay. So I don't know if he agreed and then couldn't make up the money.
So there's a lot to speculate there.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know the facts.
But I mean, like, it looks like she would actually owe him money. So her leaving the marriage, her taking the feminist pill and getting indoctrinated with her spirituality and her freedom and her I'm a new life coach sort of thing is actually going to cost her a lot of money monthly. She's basically pimping herself out to give him a good chunk of that money at some point down the road. Yeah. I mean, he should fare out pretty decently, I would imagine.
Well, in terms of equitable distribution or if it's community property, state like California, if she's only been making bank for a short period of time, again, whatever happens during the marriage stays in the marriage. So if she wasn't really making a lot of money in the early years, that's not going to get split up.
Okay.
The date that they separate, that date of separation is critical in most of these
types
of cases.
Okay, so if she's a seamstress and then separates and then all of a sudden pivots after the separation date and now she's an OnlyFans model? You're saying that the $47,000 doesn't go his way or a portion of that?
A portion of it goes his way. In some jurisdictions, they have what's known as APL or alimony pendente lite, which just keeps the playing field level during the litigation. Because if she's making 47 grand a month and he's making 60,000 a year, she's going to have a lot more firepower and the courts don't like that. So they can order her to pay him a percentage of the difference of their income during the course of litigation. And then the day that the divorce decree is entered into the docket, APL ends and either he'll get alimony or he won't. I would imagine. Yeah. So he'll get something. So he's not left poor, but they didn't have a great lifestyle during the marriage either, depending upon what the date of separation was.
I have a question because I'm a Canadian. So obviously this is a little bit new to me, with U.S. family law. So let's say that you see the train wreck unfolding and you're soon to be ex, you know, your beautiful wife, your mother of your three children is hell bent on opening up an OnlyFans and selling her sexy pictures. Do you then encourage her to do that and become her pimp and take the photographs and support her along that path for the next couple of years, knowing that it's going to end anyway, but at least supporting that mission and supporting her purpose so that you have an earn out buyout of that $47,000 that she's making because you've invested into building up that business for her. Now, you probably can't answer this question or won't answer this question. So just blink twice if it's yes. I'm kidding.
Can you answer the question? Okay. If I understood the question correctly, I'm going to rephrase it.
Yeah.
If you're a guy and you are in a marriage that you know is doomed and because your wife has an OnlyFans page, should you stick it out? Because everything that's made during the course of the marriage before the date of separation is considered marital? That's a great question. It's a very personal decision. In this case, he couldn't stick it out, even if he wanted to. By his own discussion with Rollo, he had insomnia. It was killing him that this was going on. So I think no matter what, he just couldn't do it anymore.
Had he known he could be earning $30,000 a month from her OnlyFans account by supporting her for the next couple of years, I think I'd be able to sleep at night.
You're not him. And he just couldn't do it. I don't think he went down.
A little bit comical here, obviously, too. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, we're great Monday morning quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Talking to a guy who really didn't understand female nature or how the system works. But to answer your question directly, you could sometimes people stick it out for a decade or longer. Mm-hmm. Why would they leave? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have a paramour or two, but they're living large. So it's what resonates with you in your heart, in your situation. Everybody's different. So,
yeah, it's difficult to put yourself in those shoes until you've walked a mile in them. So it's, you know, it's not like, you know, you could think, oh, well, this would be easy. You know, she's bisexual. We'll just invite some girls in. We'll have some threesomes. I'll take the photographs for her. We'll do this for a few years. I'll build up her business. And then when she decides to bounce and hang out with Tyrone again, I'll just take half her stuff, you know, for the next 10 years or whatever the payout might be. But
right,
yeah,
right.
I mean,
there are cases where people don't get divorced. You know why? Because neither of them want to get remarried. So they're like, instead of like, let's just divide up the monthly spoils for a while and see how it goes. Or they have kids that are still minors. They haven't been emancipated yet. And they don't want to hurt the kids. So they're living separate lives, but you know, the best thing to do is understand the laws in your jurisdiction so you can make a good decision based on who you are and what's important to you. So I'm not saying he was right or wrong or she was right or wrong, but if he wanted to maximize his payout, he pulled the trigger too quickly.
All right. Well, that's some good feedback and advice. Let me grab these super chats here because I think we've covered this in enough depth, to be honest with you. Kobe Tasker says, girls in church ain't that different from the girls outside of church. Christian Brothers, please study and practice. This just goes to, don't rush into anything, right? I mean, if you like the girl and maybe you're thinking about family later on down the road, turn off the afterburners, flip up the air brake, just slow it down, give it a couple of years, see what she's all about, get to know her a little bit, see if she wanted to be a stripper when she was growing up, you know, just, you know, learn a little bit about her, you know, take some time here. Anon says, you guys are the best combination, great synergy. Just saying thanks for the work and info, helping a lot of people around the world. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Very kind of you. Christian says, add this to your red flags. If she has the arts like theater or fine arts, that's a big red flag. They use art as an excuse to produce crap content and it gives a go ahead to act insufferably. Where is her website here? Let me just pull this up real quick. Cause if you look at her website, she has this, life coaching and there's big lyrics about how she can do more and be more and, you know, spread your wings and fly. She definitely spread her wings and flew away from the family. Well, not the kids obviously, but you know, the husband and the commitment that she made to the family. But, yeah, there's a lot here, you know, so she's got life coaching. So you can contact her for life coaching if you want. I think on her Facebook page, she said something about, celebrity. Yeah, here we go. I help dreamers, leaders, and celebrities create the life of their dreams. Interesting. She's qualified to do that after only a year. So that's an incredible accomplishment. Well done.
Yeah.
Let me grab the rest of these super chats here real quick.
I just want to make one quick point because you said, she's close with the kids, at least in California, to my understanding, and also in Pennsylvania, custody can't be denied to a parent because he or she has a different religion, lifestyle, or sexual orientation. So if they don't settle custody, the fact that she's doing this, zero impact. Not at all. And that's okay. I mean, so she seems to be a good mom, even according to what dad says.
Yeah,
you know, well, the kids love her.
How could they not? She comes out of the shower. She can breastfeed one while doing the hair of the other and hands the phone to the 9-year-old and he takes a photograph. She's a great mom. Jerry says she's not the story. The sucker sending her the money is. COVID will pass. Men sending her money to women over the internet for the next to nothing will not. That is the real pandemic. That'd be interesting to see what happens. I don't know that this is going to end for any OnlyFan creator. I feel like this is just the start of things. And, you know, it could potentially lead into something else. I don't know what that is right now. You know, it started out with just basic, sexy, provocative photography on Instagram, cam girl work, OnlyFans, you know, the terminology used, and I saw this used a few times in the podcast interview, sex worker, and it's almost like they're proud of it. Like, I don't know. I mean, if I was a kid growing up and the kids at school were asking me what my mom did for a living, I mean, would you honestly just like blurt out, oh, my mom's a sex worker, or my mom produces content on OnlyFans? I mean, if I went back in a time machine and did that, the kids would beat the crap out of me and I'd be embarrassed as hell. But today it seems like it's par for the course, right?
Yeah. They could just say she's in broadcast journalism and leave it there. But kids are mean. You know, I've had clients who have been in state prison, and it's very hard on the kid when they're in school if the dad or the mom's not available because they're in prison. They're mean to each other. Something like this, maybe they could sugarcoat it somehow. But they're still young, those kids. It's according to the dad also in Rollo's interview, they don't know what's going on. They have no idea. So,
well, it's only a matter of time. I mean, there's a 9-year-old, so
right.
9-year-olds are a lot more aware of what's going on than what you think. So let's not pretend like they do not know.
Right.
I got a question here from a channel member. I just want to see if we can offer some advice. He says, let's say I make $80,000 a year salary, rest in shares. Will support payments be based on the $80,000? Can she come after me for income from the shares in the future? I'm in Ontario. I'd recommend you talk to your family lawyer about that in Ontario. It really depends on what her income is and what the amount of those shares are. But that's a family law question. So talk to your lawyer about specifics or something like that. John, thank you for joining me again. That was a fun cast.
My pleasure.
I'm sure anytime. We'll do another one again in the future. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you?
Yeah, you know, I started doing YouTube videos. They're all like 2 minutes long. So if you guys could just find me on YouTube, just put my name in, Jonathan Noble Esquire. I would love it. It would be very, very much appreciated. JCN Law is my Twitter and Instagram handle. And you could just Google me. You know, I'm on Avvo and all the law, Justia, all the legal websites. I write a blog on my own website instead of farming it out to other people that write lawyer blogs. So just Google me out. And if you'll subscribe to my YouTube channel, I'd really appreciate it.
Awesome. And before I wrap up, I just got a real quick shout out to the channel sponsor over my shoulder here, the Grondike soap. Where's my banner here? There we go. Nope, that's not it. There we go. Boom. Tactical soap is pheromone infused, handmade in the United States. They also have a really cool stick now, which I've mentioned before, but you can check that out. It's a very small little stick. You can keep it in the glove box of your car, but it's got pheromones in it as well. So, you know, as the day kind of goes on, you sweat a little bit, you leave the gym, you can do a little touch up there on your beard and your wrist, whatever you want. But check it out there. You can go to coopersoap.com and you check out with coupon code Cooper, you get 10% off. See you guys in the next cast. Jonathan, thanks again for joining me.
My pleasure.
You guys have an amazing day. Leave a comment below. Smash the like button. Appreciate it tons. Thanks, guys.